podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 270,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 147, recorded on Tuesday, February 4th, 2014. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And Gina is busy. ThinkUp is demanding more and more of her time.
They're on stage, I think, right now at the New York Tech Meetup, I think. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So if you're in New York City, maybe you're at that meetup and you're seeing their demo.
Yeah, maybe you're there at the meetup watching the demo, and like under the table you've got your device streaming All About Android. It's possible.
Possible. I'll tell you, if that meetup is anything like how it used to be, because I used to go to that meetup back in like 05, 06, 07, mm-hmm. like in the early days, and it was a brutal crowd. They were just like, the demos were like, lots of they wouldn't wait to ask questions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If it's still like that, then I'm wishing her all the luck in the world. So, that was a long time ago.
She doesn't need all the luck in the world. She doesn't need ThinkUp is awesome.
Exactly. But we have got a great guest.
As always, Phil Nickenson, Android Central. It's awesome having you back on the show.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's been a while. Am I that pink in person?
I didn't want to say anything.
It looks much softer here through the monitor than through the Skype. It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
I think maybe Brian is giving you extra pink.
He's turned up the pink.
Yeah, it's the pink filter. Yeah.
We were joking earlier. The lower third looks great. The top half, not so much. So I'll do what I can.
There's only so much we can do with the TriCaster.
There we go. Don't make Phil angry. We wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Feel a little under the weather tonight.
Now that you're green, you fit in. This is wonderful. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on. And yes, it's true. It's been far too long. I'm not entirely sure why, but thank you for coming on the show today.
Good to have you.
Were my checks not clearing or something?
I know. Finally, you paid me enough. And
There are checks? Wait a minute. There are payoffs? I don't see any of this.
Shut up on the checks, Phil. Jeez.
Sorry.
We got a lot to talk about. I probably don't have to tell you because you know all about the big news, but we'll be discussing Lenovo buying Motorola, Nexus being a winner for Google, and Chromecast SDK finally released, and there's just a lot more. So let's waste no more time. Let's get to the news. So
if you were on the internet on Wednesday last week and you heard the collective screaming coming from the Petaluma, San Francisco area, that was collectively Jason, me, and Gina all at the same time.
Just like, seriously? I swear, all the big news in the world breaks the day after the show is on.
And it wasn't even literally the fact that it was big news, but it was the fact that the night before on our show, the number of times we referred to Google and Motorola.
Yeah.
And when I saw this news come across on Twitter, I literally did a spit take.
Yeah.
I literally like spit out my drink and immediately retweeted it, which I never do. And I was like, I got to tell Jason about this. And like,
Yeah, we got a lot of people writing into the show just to tell us how unfortunate our timing was with the episode last week.
As if you didn't already realize
it. I know, right? Considering the very next day, Google laid the bombshell press release that pretty much put the kibosh in all of our analysis and conjecture. So think of that episode as like a time capsule to revisit when times were just much simpler. Lenovo bought Motorola for roughly $2.91 billion. Google originally paid $12 billion. For Motorola a few years ago. They did also sell the set-top box division, I think like less than a year ago, for $2.35 billion. So it's not a total loss monetarily. That's obviously not the whole picture here. Google retains the majority of the roughly 17,000 patents that came from the Motorola Mobility acquisition. Google's CEO Larry Page said the company would continue to use those to defend the entire Android ecosystem. And Google also keeps, actually, this is I think, great news. The Advanced Technology Group, which produces or will produce the Project Ara modular phone project.
Thank God.
Yeah, because that really—it's
not like Lenovo is a bad company.
Totally. But this really feels very googly.
Yes, right? And this feels like the first thing somebody would kill if they like. They're like, oh, yeah, we don't need this.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. If we have to focus our efforts, yeah. Phil, you've had a whole week to think about this. What do you think about all this?
You know, I mean, when something like this happens, you have that initial knee-jerk reaction, and it's like somebody took your baby away. And oh my. Yeah. And I felt that too. I've been using a Moto X since it came out. That's my daily driver. I love that phone. Yep. So your initial reaction is like, why? But I. And then you stop and you think about it for a minute. You say, all right, they kept all these patents. They kept the Advanced Design Group, whatever. It's not a total monetary loss. And the Motorola that Google sold off to Lenovo is a very, very different Motorola as a company than what Google bought. You know, and it's funny that they only held on to it, you know, product-wise for about a year. Not even a year, actually. We've had the Moto X since, what, August. I honestly just don't know. It's going to take a little while to see what comes out of this. I wrote something on Sunday that it's easy to have that initial freak out. Tougher to actually know what Lenovo's going to do with it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's just a business deal for Lenovo's in and it gets them into the United States, whether it gets some sort of better Android phone, and I hate to say proper Android phone, but a really good Android phone into China at the same time that Apple is finally breaking into China. There are just so many unknowns here to really have any idea. And honestly, I don't know that we're ever going to know the full story. I think there's going to be so few people within Google who actually know, I think I said it on our podcast Friday, who actually can see all the pieces that were in play there and let alone see them in the same room interacting with each other. There's just so much going on from a political standpoint, from a business standpoint. That said, please, Lenovo, don't screw up Motorola because I really like what they were doing.
That's my big feeling too. Is you know the Motorola now, like you said, versus what they were even a year ago, is very different and so much better. And just doing great things. Continue doing great things. Well, Lenovo.
And that's probably a good segue to kind of hear from Lenovo as to what, you know, kind of the behind the scenes kind of with the deal. And Fortune interviewed the Lenovo CEO. I'm going to butcher his name. Wang King Yang. Sure. And CEO Yang said basically on how the deal happened, he said, right after Google bought Motorola, I invited Eric Schmidt to have a dinner at my house. I told him, if you think you want to run the hardware business, you can keep the business. But if you're not interested in the hardware business, we can definitely handle that, take over that. And Schmidt apparently remembered that and then called him 2 months late, called him two months ago. Yeah, and he sent him an email. He called him back. He said, are you still interested in Motorola? And Lenovo said, definitely. And we started to discuss it. He went to Silicon Valley many times. Larry Page invited me to his house to have dinner very quickly. In just 2 months, we closed the deal. So literally 2 months is November. It's December. Like this happened that quickly, which is rapidly. Kind of unheard of when it comes to that large amount of money and kind of corporate kind of things. In terms of the questions that we have about what Lenovo is going to do at Motorola, in terms of branding, Yang said no decision on the phones no decision has been made on if the phones will have the Lenovo brand or Motorola, but likely keeping Motorola, possibly Motorola by Lenovo, which is nice. In terms of customization, Yang said, in my understanding, Motorola does customization of phones in the U.S. If that is what the market needs, we will definitely keep that. It's a good model, so we may replicate that in other markets. And basically, when asked the question if Lenovo, now the number three smartphone maker worldwide with Motorola, can they compete with Apple or Samsung? And he says, definitely. Over time, our mission is to surpass them.
Of course.
Yeah. So,
if anyone in his position isn't saying that their mission is to be number one, then they're probably not the right person for the job because that should be everybody's mission.
It's funny how some people don't quite always get that. Right. But that's good. It sounds like they're hungry. It sounds like they wanted it. You know, and the thing is, like, Lenovo, I mean, before I moved to Mac, I used the Lenovo ThinkPad. I mean, once they bought it from IBM, and I used that for years after that purchase happened. And they make good machines. They make good hardware.
And that's what a lot of people are saying is you can take a look at what Lenovo did with their ThinkPad kind of strategy, and you know, they did great things, and they haven't gone in there and completely, you know, reorganized it and redesigned it and made it something completely different. They kind of stuck to the brand, which yep. I think they'd be crazy not to do with Motorola, especially kind of the good place that Motorola is at right now.
Although I gotta say, if you work at Motorola, your head must be spinning.
Yeah,
to have two acquisitions in a year, and especially like,
and you're like, we scored Google.
We're gonna get the dry cleaning, and we're gonna get the all the perks and the bicycles, and it's gonna be
what
awesome.
About the bikes?
I know, oh man. But
and that's the big question: what happens to all these people?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, the headcount at Motorola was down from what it used to be because they were, call it whatever you want, they were laying people off.
Yeah.
But what happens to the people who were there? How many of them actually want to work for Lenovo? Or, and not to say Lenovo's a bad company, but that's something you have to think about when your company's bought out as well. You know, I thought I was working for Google, or people who came in. You know, that's just another aspect of this whole thing that we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so early on. We obviously won't know the answer to these things for a while. As far as the customization aspect, if you had to put your money on it, what do you think? Do you think customization is going to continue?
No. I don't think so either. Response. He's like, oh, they do that, right? Okay, well, if people like it, then funny, actually.
In my understanding, Motorola does customization of phones.
Yeah.
You're right. That company that you just bought for
I hear the Americans like it, so maybe we'll keep it. That's the one where if you're a big customization fan, you got to be worried. But then it's just widgets to them. I mean, they're just, you know, phones of different colors and things like
right.
that. Whether or not it blows out the customization dream that Motorola and Google Motorola had to make the phone totally customizable is another story. But yeah, so
I can imagine being like, they're doing what? With color? No.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I know. Wait, they're doing different color phones? That's crazy. Why would anybody want that? But it'll be really curious. I mean, we noted that Project R will stay with Google. That does feel like a more Googly thing. And the thing is, like, if they just keep the progress that Motorola has been making and just throw the Lenovo hardware support behind it, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we can see a lot of impact on price per phone, driving the price down, because now you have a big supply chain behind you with Lenovo. And to be honest, we were just talking that Google is becoming a consumer electronic company, but now not so much. So you got to wonder.
The hardware space?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
But Google has basically said, like, this is not an indication of getting out of hardware. Nest, you know,
yeah.
they're not. At least they're saying they're not. Their plans are not to get rid of Nest.
So they're going
to
buy
the same way.
They're going to buy
the
HTC?
Smartphone market is very filled and volatile, and you know, there's not a whole lot of room for them to kind of really shake things up there, I think, is what they've realized.
Yeah.
Something like, you know, wearable technology like glass, or you know, the Internet of Things with Nest and all that kind of stuff that ties into their data needs and, you know, the things that they can gain from that. And it's also not a very crowded space that they can shake things up there.
I would just love to know what the conversation at Google between Eric Schmidt and Larry Page and Sergey were to be like, okay, let's get rid of it after less than a year. Like, I wonder.
You know what it was? It was saying, all right, how much did it lose last quarter?
Yeah.
How much did it lose this quarter?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably.
That was it.
So,
I mean, it doubled. I forget if it was year over year or quarter over quarter from Q3 to Q4. I think it was year over year, but I mean, it doubled at one point. So, yeah.
We'll see.
Yep. As we like to end a story of this magnitude with, we'll just have to wait and see. Brian, I hope your fingers are ready. It's time for some breaking news.
Somebody was asleep at the desk.
Okay. There we go. And let me tell you, this is a doozy right here. Thank you to our wonderful chatters in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. That's right. Brace yourselves. Android platform distribution numbers have been updated.
I was waiting on the edge of my seat. I heard that they might come out today. I didn't know.
Happy we got that in there. Man, what would the show be if we didn't?
You're really feeling the sting from last week, aren't you? Just like,
hey, I don't want this to go a whole week, man.
Yep.
This is huge. Now I just have to look at it and read what it says. Jelly Bean, 59.1% up to 60.7%. All right, so 1% there. This is exciting stuff here, let me tell you. KitKat is up to 1.4%. and made another, from 1.4 to 1.8%. And those are kind of the major ones to pay attention to.
Yep.
You're not going to see any huge changes until Samsung starts pushing it out. It's just that simple.
Right. And I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about what device that might be associated with here very soon. But you're right. The new devices launching right now, and especially the devices by Samsung that move in great, great quantities.
Yep.
Coming out with those newer versions of Android. So there we go. Not the biggest news in the world, but a great reason.
But still, it was breaking news. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Hey, we have to respect breaking news, yeah. No matter. Thank you.
Oh, look at Brian trying to recover.
Yeah. We love you, Brian. Let's see here. Okay, so sources were telling Recode that Samsung and Google had discussions at CES this year that may have led to an agreement that may see Samsung toning down its customizations and actually featuring Google services in a more prominent way than they have in the past. And that would kind of be a big deal. This is in light of Samsung's new magazine UX that alarmed Google and supposedly prompted the discussion. One source went on to say that their relationship has undergone a sea change in the last few weeks. That sounds nice. Now, consequently, Samsung unveiled 4 new tablets today, all of which include the new magazine UX with no option to disable the interface. They're the Galaxy Note Pro 8.4 and 12.2, as well as the Tab Pro 8.4 and 10.1. You can probably assume that even if there were changes to be made, you know, that Samsung had a change of face and is like, okay, well, maybe we'll tone it down. These were probably so late into the process that, you know, it's not like they're going to delay the release of their hardware. They have dates that they have to meet here. So that could be what we're seeing. Or these reports to Recode, these sources, as they say, could be full of it.
I think we're really reading a lot into this, and that's not to discount. That's not to discount Ina's story, because I know Ina, and I love Ina.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to be a little careful of how far we run with that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how is that different than any other launcher? How is that different than what we saw Facebook try to do last year?
Yep.
I have a feeling what we might see is maybe they're working a little more closely to try to make sure things work the first time. Samsung, if you're going to have your own gallery app, and that's cool that you do, because, look, Motorola has its own gallery app and its own calendar app. They look the same, but they are different. They are completely different applications. So maybe, you know, the GS4 and that entire generation had some serious issues when it came to performance on some of its own apps. And we saw, you know, updates had to take care of that. It just was not a good experience. I could see Google and Samsung sitting down and saying, look, if you're going to do that, fine. Let us help you try to make these better before you put them out there. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is diversification of products, and like if I was a product guy working at a company with an Android phone, I would be pushing the designers and the techs to make it as unique as possible, because that is a selling point. And one of the great things about Android, at least in my mind, is that it is a open platform that allows you to make tweaks and allows you to say, okay, look, our product does this, which is unlike those other guys, which I still want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You still want to see innovation, you know, because then, as we've seen, stuff comes out and people adapt it and it works its way back into Android, and that's how the whole thing going. So, you know, I agree. I think we're reading a bit too much into it. I think it's good also, though, but that Samsung is also willing to admit, okay, listen, we don't want to stray too far from center.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a nice medium of the two.
Yeah, it did strike me as kind of odd when I read this, just from the sheer fact that that's kind of what Android has always been about.
Right.
It's like, you know, take it and run with it and make it your own. I do understand that Google has a lot to gain when Samsung, you know, keeps it a little bit closer to the original vision and, you know, keeps it as tied into their services and all that kind of stuff. But they don't have to. And in fact, they haven't for a long time. Their entire strategy on Android is about differentiating it as much as it possibly can from the other players in the space. So for this particular UI, which I don't think looks bad.
No.
I think it looks kind of current. You know, there's a lot of design happening right now that looks similar to that. I found it kind of hard to believe that Google saw that and was like, wait a minute.
Slow down there.
That's a little
slow
too down. Far.
Listen,
that
Facebook.
That looks a little too well designed, even though I realize we just bought AV8 and it kind of does some things that are similar to what maybe you see, you know, like, I don't know.
It's true. I wonder what the line is, whether, you know, what Facebook does something but Samsung can't, and, you know, or,
right.
or is it too close to Aviate, or is it too close to X, or whatever else might be out there.
Yeah. Flipboard.
Or, you know, HTC had Blink Feed this time last year.
Yeah.
So it's not the first time we've seen a magazine-y UI come into play. So I really think it's probably something a little different.
Yeah. If you are interested in those tablets, by the way, you can look for the Wi-Fi models to launch February 13th, starting at $399, going all the way up to $849 for the 64 gig Note Pro 12.2 inch tablet.
There you go.
Woo! You got a little of your tablet.
It doubles as personal self-defense, so yes. that going toward.
It doubles as your windshield for your car.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You can walk the sun on a hot day.
Yes.
It's big. Really big.
While we're talking about Samsung, last week we had the heated discussion around Google and Samsung's 10-year patent agreement. And, you know, not a week can go by without talking about patent.
You got degrees. The patent story this
time.
I'm on
the patent beat.
Yep.
Today, though, the news expanded that Google reached a long-term agreement with Cisco that covers a broad range of products and technologies. The cross-licensing deal is structured such that even the patents that are sold to another company, Google and Cisco are still protected from them. So basically another agreement with a huge hardware manufacturer. Although Cisco, what does Cisco make? You know, if you think about that, think about deeply. I mean, whether or not this is so much phone stuff or more Google in the home, routers,
I think it's just really indicative of Google's broader kind of products or patent strategy now, which I hope means good things for everyone, not just Android.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with licensing patents. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Right, exactly. And hopefully it's less litigation now, you know, because we've got more partnership and more working together. So there you go. Google and Cisco going out on a date with their patents.
They make a good couple.
They do. Yeah.
Okay. So I was tweeted a day or two after the Lenovo Motorola news. It's kind of a good general question that I thought we could all kind of bat around for a little bit. Let's see here. And I missed his name here. Doug Forsythe. Says, I was literally minutes away from ordering a Moto X when I heard about this, the Lenovo news, on Wednesday. Is it still worth it? he continued. Actually, keep that up, Ryan, because I don't have that in front of me. He continued to say, or will Lenovo taint the clear waters, do you think? I'd rather not end up with it being updated to another skinned Android. What do you guys think? If you had to put your money on it.
No, your Moto X is not going to get an update one day and have some crazy UI on top of it now. It's just not going to happen. If it happens, I will buy that guy a new phone. I will do that for you because that's the hell of a guy that I am.
Doug Forsythe, you just struck internet gold right there.
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, just buy the phone. The phone is the phone, and it exists. It's going to be fine.
And it's a great phone.
Exactly.
It's still a fantastic phone.
In fact, I would say buy it while you can because you never know what tomorrow might come.
That is a really good point. still a great phone, and you can still get it.
Yeah.
You never know.
It's actually really good timing for this whole deal to have gone down because there's a bit of a buffer period, right? We shouldn't expect a new major revision of Android till late, you know, this year, till November, probably, right? Late October, November. So even if it misses out on, you know, a small update here or there, and by the way, the Moto X and Moto G are getting 4.42, like, right this second, it's, you know, we've got a ways to worry about that still. And then there's always the custom ROM route should anything really bad happen.
Sure. Yep. So, yes, Moto X, still a great great decision, great device.
Good option. Go for it.
And go for, you know, one of the fancy backing ebony
and,
or whatever.
Yeah, get the bamboo while you can.
Yes.
And take a picture with your phone and post on Twitter so we can get we never really get the end of the story. People write in, and we never hear if they take our advice.
Here's what happened.
But they've even heard it. I would like to hear the end of the story, Brian Forsythe. So there you go.
you're looking for receipt confirmation.
I need closure. That's what I'm looking for. I don't need a receipt. I'll trust. A photo will be fine. I just want at least some acknowledgement that our message was heard and that he, you know, agreed or disagreed. So there you go. And why he asked you and not me. But whatever. We won't get into that. So
I don't know.
Jason, I really need to know.
I don't know. You don't talk to people on Twitter anymore these days.
Well, a little bit, yeah. I've been busy.
Yeah, I understand. We've all been very, very, very busy. Let's take a break and thank our sponsor of today's episode. That's 99 Designs. Have you been dreaming about the perfect logo or website design, but you don't know how to get started? That's what 99 Design is all about. Are you worried about budgets? They can help you with all of this stuff. They are the world's largest graphic design marketplace, and they kind of kick butt. They make it easy to get a design you love. You just go to the website, tell them about the design that you need. You pick a price package that works for you. And then, you know, it's actually a pretty fun process. Designers from around the globe are going to submit awesome designs and give you and basically await your feedback. Within a week, you'll pick your favorite and be the proud owner of a gorgeous new design. With over 270,000 designers at your fingertips, there's no limit to what you can get designed. You can boost your brand's visibility with a t-shirt, car wrap design, drive more traffic with a nice new banner ad or landing page. Projects start at just $199, and 99 Design says your happiness is always 100% guaranteed.
I want a project that I'm getting to use them on. I feel like I'm missing out.
Well, check this out. Yeah. Alan Jack sent an email to us. He says, I'm an avid fan of All About Android. He's written a book on using Android, which will launch in the Kindle and Google bookstores shortly. He says, I use 99 Designs to design the book cover, and I'm overwhelmed with the response. I used the freebie power pack AAA code, which supercharged my project. Now my problem is I have too many good design submissions.
Wow.
Since you guys got me into this dilemma, I asked for your help choosing a winning design. Please, will you...
Since you guys got me into this dilemma.
It says, please, will you check out the link and let me know which design you prefer?
Oh, let's do it. Can we?
Well, I think I'm not sure that we can necessarily vote because, you know, he's the one you have to log in to do that. Oh. But he got a ton. So you can kind of scan through and see just all
12
of the
entries. Wow.
No, he got more than that. He
just
got
12 entries.
Yeah, go.
Oh, that's the designer.
Keep scrolling. Look at all those.
Oh, wow.
I know. And that's just
these
like one page
really
of many.
These are really good.
Yeah, I know. They're all
And I'm not saying great. That like I'm surprised. Like, I'm really impressed. Look at that one. I really like that one.
Well, that's, this is kind of just a good example of what 99 Designs is all about, right? Alan had an idea for a project. He's not a designer himself. He put it to the community. The community comes back with tons of useful stuff. Now he has the reverse problem. Now he has too many great ideas, and he got to pick one. The best part about that, of course, is that you end up with a great one no matter which one you end up deciding on. So there you go. If you want to be overwhelmed with design choices for your project, you can do this to yourself. All you have to do is visit 99designs.com/AAA. You'll get a $99 power pack of services for free, as Alan did here. A power pack actually gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace. You'll get nearly twice as many designs, obviously. Visit 99designs.com/AAA, and we thank 99 Designs for their continued support of All About Android. You guys are great, and obviously people think you're great, too. They're using the service, and it's very effective.
I should use them to redesign my Twitter avatar.
You could do that.
Yeah, I know.
You could do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
There you go. All right. Let's get into hardware.
I love that. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so serene.
It's calming.
Yeah, I like it.
Gets you ready for hardware.
Yeah, I'm ready for hardware. Oh, anyway. So those of you in the finance community know that it's that wonderful time of year called earnings call time. And Google had its fourth quarter earnings call last week, and there was some talk about the success of the Nexus 5 with CFO Patrick Pichette saying multiple times that the Nexus 5 performed very strong during the quarter, continuing by saying that Google was very happy with the sales. The Chromecast was Google's best-selling product of the quarter, no doubt thanks to its low price and impressive capabilities. Hardware and Play Store sales are some of the fastest-growing revenue sources for Google at the moment. And if you waited this long to get a Nexus 5, you're being rewarded with a new choice. The Nexus 5, my preferred phone on Android, is now available in red, which I totally want, and I'm kind of mad that it wasn't available when it came out. But so now it's available, and you get it for the same price, $349 for 16 gig or $399 for 32 gig, and I want it badly.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
So what
it's pretty sweet.
Don't read too much into the cheerleading on the earnings call.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
Of course. Of course they're going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw those stories. It's like, were we listening to the same call? Because they didn't really say anything, but all right.
I also like what we're referring to, an article. What was it on The Verge? Or yeah, it was on The Verge where they said Google calls Nexus 5 a sales winner. It's like, all right, that's, you know, like, it's
what,
like,
else were they going to say? Yep.
But
it worked.
I think it's fair to say that they're pleased.
Children.
I think it's fair to say that they're pleased with it, and they're going to be positive about it, and they're going to want, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. The problem was everybody was waiting for them to say something like, you know what, this is the last year we're doing the Nexus line. Eldar right. was right.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen. They're talking about their babies. They're going to, you know, we all have the cutest kids ever. Jason's kids are all right. Mine are better. I have the cutest kids you've ever seen. God.
Point taken, but my kids are cuter than yours.
It's also all about creating the conversation and creating the moment and stuff like that. I mean, admittedly, I a part of my job is marketing and that sort of thing, and I declare our products to be hits because they are hits. We've got all these sales and people are liking it, so it's a hit. And I think the Nexus 5 is something that, you know, yes, there's some hyperbole around Google's, you know, kind of talking about it in terms of its performance, but it's a darn good phone, and I think the price point and the unlocking aspect of it, and I've yet to talk to anybody who's not, well, actually, I will take that back. One of my coworkers got one and has had horrendous antenna reception. Like in his office, he cannot get more than one or two bars, which is very bizarre because I'm in the office next to him and I get full bars. So I don't know if it's because he's on Sprint and I'm on T-Mobile, or like we're trying to figure out. He also has a pillar in his office. I'm wondering if there's metal in that, like, you know. Right. But that was the first person. That was last week. That's the first person who's ever given any sort of negative comment about the Nexus 5 after owning it. So
all I know is a red one makes me kind of
right. Yeah.
Can you just take this? Because this black one. I need the red one now. That's just. Anyways, so Samsung, ready for an all new Broadway extravaganza brought to you courtesy of Samsung? Who knows if they're going to do the Broadway show, but we can only hope. I don't wish it on any reporter that has to be there for it, but they sure are fun to watch on YouTube.
And it's going
to
be.
I was there last year. It was fun.
Yeah.
So this one is in Barcelona?
Yep. I will be at this one as well.
Is Barcelona known for its theater? Do they have...
It's known for bullfighting, which could make a whole nother kind of unpack, actually.
Yeah, no kidding.
What is the Broadway of Barcelona? What is the Great White Way of Spain? I don't know. Is it? Yeah.
I mean, they could do it on La Rambla with all the street performers and the women of the evening later on in the day, and that could be a whole other thing.
Also, what about the term unpacked? I feel like from a marketing standpoint, unpacked doesn't really... I get what they're trying to say, like they're unboxing
unboxing
it. I feel like the word unpacked is not very marketing sexy.
I said the same thing about the very first one where they announced some phone called the Samsung Galaxy S. And, well, I was wrong.
Apparently it works.
Were you, though? Were you? I mean, I don't know. I still don't think the Galaxy S is such a great name, but that's just me.
Yeah,
I'm with you,
Phil. It's worked out all right for him, though.
Yeah, it keeps working.
I'm with you.
That is scheduled February 25th in Barcelona, as we said.
Barcelona. So, you got to say it correctly.
Barcelona. Thank you for the flag, Brian. Was it the correct flag? Okay, cool. All right. Just got to make sure. All I saw was the tail end of a flag.
That totally made up for missing the breaking news cue, by the way.
I'm actually very impressed from a TD standpoint that he was able to load that up as quickly as he was.
Right. By the way, that's going to be 1 o'clock noon. That's going to be 10 a.m. on the West Coast for you guys.
So we're probably going to be doing some sort of live coverage of it.
No, you're not. You're going to do something the next day. Come on.
I don't know.
You're going to miss it.
That seems like a gauntlet.
Wait a minute. Did you say 10 a.m. or 10 p.m.?
10 a.m. your time.
A.m.
10 a.m. Yeah, we would live cover that.
Okay.
I don't know for sure that we will, but we have in the past.
I was taking a swipe at you guys just missing the news on the show. Sorry.
We don't find that funny.
Okay.
That's okay. Hey, Brian, if you could go ahead and disconnect with Phil, we're going to continue on with the show.
Thanks.
It's been great. I'll show off your app for you and I'll claim it as my own. Anyways, Galaxy S5. what is it, a quad HD Super AMOLED is rumored, 5.25-inch display. That's beyond 500 pixels per inch.
Why?
There you why? Go. Yeah, well, yeah.
Quad HD.
Yes, yes, why? But when I saw a 1080p display on the Droid DNA, I said, okay, I get it.
I will never forget that moment.
It was the
Twitter avatars that did it.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
I know. Yes. I remember that moment. I remember what you were wearing. No, I don't remember what you were wearing. What I'm saying.
Good. I'm happy you don't remember that. No, I completely agree, Phil. I see that, and I'm like, yeah, you don't need that because 1080p is enough. But you know, I probably said the same thing when I saw 720p, and that's everything.
And in 1947, that's what you would have said when you heard radio for the first time, and yes, exactly. Then you saw those newfangled TVs.
Why do I need color on TV? Black and white is just fine.
What are these movies with talkie? Talking. I blew it.
I enjoy using my imagination. Well, so there we go.
All right. So, a little bit of email. We got
a little bit.
It's actually a lot here. I can't even scroll down to see.
If you want to split up the points, I'll read some too.
Yeah. Well, hang on a second. Okay. So, who actually wrote it in? What is the person's name?
RMKILC.
Yeah, that's what I was having a problem with. RMKILC says, go. Renaming Nexus is one thing, and this is in reaction to our conversation last week.
Right.
But dropping them all together is another. Google Play Edition devices are not the same as Nexus devices. The only thing they have in common is they appear to run stock Android and they are sold on Google Play. Here are some of the reasons why Nexus is so great. He's a Nexus fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
Google doesn't post binaries or factory images for Google Play Edition devices. They do for Nexus devices.
It's a pretty important one.
Google Play Edition devices don't have a straightforward unlockable bootloader. For example, the HTC One still requires S-off. The GS4 still requires Odin, and the Sony Z Ultra still requires an unlock code from Sony. Nexus devices unlock exactly the same super easy way, regardless of the manufacturer. You can really see how Nexus devices are pure Google, while the Google Play Edition devices still have a ton of manufacturer influences. The Google Play Edition devices are usually based on hardware for a specific carrier, therefore lack the wide diversity of radio bands the Nexus devices have. Nexus devices specifically have many bands to work on a variety of carriers. Google Play Edition devices don't have the consistent nav bar, internal battery, no SD card, and no SD card slot that the Nexus devices have. Fragmentation much? Nexus devices are true Android, how Google envisions it. And do we need to mention price?
Which we did mention.
Which you didn't. Yep. Regardless of what they're called, thinking that they're the same thing and can be put in the same category is simply not true.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for the tone there.
Yeah.
We missed a few of these, but I thought it was a good kind of display of some of the ways that they are in fact different. And you know, when you kind of read through this, it makes more sense why Google wouldn't.
Right.
Get rid of the Nexus brand.
And especially when you consider that they sold off Motorola, right?
Yep.
So suddenly you're not in the handset business anymore.
Yep.
You still have this really awesome design team with Nest to do other things, but now you're gonna have to rely on those partners more than ever if you want to get your vision of what an Android smartphone should be out there. Mm-hmm. You know, could they be, look, we go through this every year. This is going to be the last Nexus. There won't be a Nexus this year. Eventually, it might well happen, but... We're talking about 2015 at this point. It's so much can happen between now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, the majority of our conversation around that was built around Motorola.
Oh, I know.
Which just killed me. So, so who knows? But anyway, we appreciate the email. It's always good to hear the audience's point of view.
Absolutely.
So, especially in a tone.
Just watch the tone, please.
No, I like
your
it.
Point,
I like
your
it.
Point taken.
I like it. I forgot what somebody said. I forgot that somebody made a really passive-aggressive comment about me, and I forgot what it was, but it was, I love it when that happens, when they write in. It's great. I bring on the snark.
I didn't hear a tone.
I omitted part of the tone.
Oh, you did? Really?
Oh, yeah. There was another snarky tone in there. I don't want, why? You don't need to put that in there. Point taken. anyways, let's get into apps.
So cool.
We have been waiting for this day for so long. Google Play Services 4.2 released yesterday, I believe it was, and it brings with it something we have asked for so many times, all of us, the collective all of us, not just us on the show. Developers can now integrate their apps with the Google Cast SDK, allowing anyone to cast their app to the big screen by way of Chromecast. Cast all the things. And speaking of casting all the things, it only took 12 hours from the announcement to, I think, the official release of the, or update to the Play Store for Koch Dutta to integrate the Chromecast capability back into Allcast. And, you know, if you don't recall, Koch had kind of put together Allcast shortly after Chromecast was released and was kind of relying on, you know, exposed but not released, not officially released parts of the SDK to kind of make it work with Chromecast. Google made an update, and that broke the capability. And then it's just kind of been a matter of time of, okay, when is this going to be released so we can get that awesome functionality back in this app? Because this app, as far as I'm concerned, is a must-have.
Yep. And it's back. Good for him for getting it on. I mean, he probably was like, it's like waiting at the starting gate. You know,
but
like,
I don't know. He's kind of on Google Plus. He's taken a very kind of blasé approach before this, just kind of like, you know what? Hey, whatever. Like, right. You know, because I think a part, if I remember correctly, thinking back to when it happened, I think he had a post that was kind of like, hey, you know, Google, you broke my app. And I think ultimately it probably wasn't Google saying, all right, we're going to make sure that you can't use this.
Right.
They just weren't publicly accessible or publicly officially released.
Right.
So, you know, tapping into it is kind of like at your own risk.
Right.
But having said that, Google reached out to Koch shortly after Chromecast SDK was announced and basically like convinced him and said, hey, literally, you have to make hardly any changes to your code. This is going to take you 15 minutes, and it did. So it was a very easy update.
Yeah.
So for developers that are thinking about adding Chromecast support to your app, it sounds like it's really easy. And let's do it, because we need more apps that use Chromecast that tap into the Cast API.
Yep. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. I know they want many devices and many apps, many apps to have that casting capability, potential to change everything. So we'll see.
Awesome.
Talk about changing everything. Google Maps users are continuing to bask in the positives of getting Waze integrated into Google Maps. Now Maps will tell you when it recognizes a faster route while you're literally on the move. When you're going somewhere with navigation, it will pop up and say, faster route now available, save 10 minutes, accept.
Except.
And they're calling it navigation with dynamic rerouting.
Yeah.
Which is very, very cool, because I'm the kind of person who looks at what the navigation tells me. I'm like, no, I know a faster way.
Yeah, so, I know, right?
Or I'll spend a lot of time driving and looking down to look at the traffic lines. So I'm going to give this a try on the way home. We'll see if it actually works. So,
if it finds a faster route.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, cool.
I just don't use maps nearly as much as I did when I lived in San Francisco and worked in Petaluma. It's kind of a bummer because I travel
a lot too. So like yeah. I'll end up, I mean, like I'm looking at a lot of time in Atlanta at the end of this month and restaurants and things like that. I can't live without Google Maps.
Yeah.
I was just actually, I posted this on Google Plus. Last night I watched one of my favorite movies that I rented through Google Play and I watched on my Chrome TV. Google TV. Quick Change from 1990 with Bill Murray and Gina Davis and Randy Quaid. It's a great movie it's a real ode to...
Oh, man, I remember the cover. I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, they rob a bank in the very beginning and the rest of the movie is them trying to get to the airport. And all these things get in the way, and it's a real ode to New York City of the late 80s. But there's one moment where they're lost in Brooklyn and they can't find the BQE, and they pull over and ask a guy for directions, and he pulls out a map. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God. And this is like 24 years ago. It's not even that long ago, where it just seems so foreign and so alien that's what he was doing. So,
True.
So there you go. So. Quick Change. Go rent it. $1.99.
I was going to say, it's got to be a pretty cheap rental.
Oh, super cheap. I literally thought it was $9.99 to buy it, and I thought about buying it. That's how good that movie is. But, so, yeah.
When is the last time any one of us has had to pull out a paper map?
A what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. I can't even remember.
Yeah, I know.
I thought about that the first year I went to Mobile World Congress, and it's like, how did people go places and do things before these smartphones and Google Maps, and just no idea.
Yeah, and I mean, they did, so they made it happen. You just got to buy the maps and also be good at reading them, because that is kind of a skill. It's kind of like how cursive writing is going away. Like, reading maps, the ability to, like, read a paper map and understand, like, this is what I need to do is getting more and more difficult for generations.
And never having to ask for directions anymore.
Right.
Google Maps has done more to advance men being right.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'll never forget when I was 17 or 18, when I was 18 and I went out on the road. I roadied for a summer in my friend's band. And the day I left, my dad got me an Atlas, like a U.S. Atlas. And it was like the Rand McNally, whatever, was the kind that folded and had a plastic sleeve you're supposed to keep in the car. And he's like, so you don't get lost. And this is like 1995. And it, like, sure enough, I spent 2 months driving throughout the country. I used that Atlas like crazy because we're in the middle of Iowa trying to figure out how to get to Texas. And, you know, and you need it. And so now you just pull out the phone and it works. So we're spoiled.
Hopefully
kids.
You have a power source to plug your phone into. Exactly. Otherwise, you're lost.
Well,
you're
I've got
screwed.
My battery. You carry the battery. You carry 90 of those external batteries. And so,
If you have been waiting for Pebble to throw a bone to Android users, by way of an app store, wait no longer. The beta version of Pebble's Android app is now available through their site. It gives Pebble owners access to more than 1,000 apps for the smartwatch. Phil, I think you. I think you're a fan of Pebble. I think I heard through the grapevine.
I might have a brand new Pebble Steel here.
Steel.
So now I want to hear about this because when that got announced, a friend of mine sent it to me because I've been on the edge of the smartwatch. You know, and Jason, you know this. I really want a smartwatch. The Samsung offering didn't impress me. The first round of Pebble didn't impress me. Phil, tell me about this. The Pebble Steel is this the smart?
It's night and day compared to the original Pebble. It really is. I'm not 100% sure it's 100% better, but it's smaller. I think it's a tad thinner. Definitely a smaller footprint in the face. The leather is so much nicer than the rubber. Now you can switch bands on the old school. But it really is nice here. I've got the Link watch band here as well.
Cool.
It's for $250, look, it's definitely more expensive. What was the original Pebble? $149, I think. And, you had all sorts of deals with that so you can get it cheaper, but I like the hell out of this. I've only had it for a couple hours now. Getting the Pebble App Store onto phones is a huge deal. I don't think we can, overstate that enough, how big a deal that is for Pebble to be able to bring that sort of thing under its own roof and control it a little better. And that's nothing against the developer community for Pebble, because all kinds of great people. The German-based watch face generator, I think today said they did 160,000 watch faces on Monday. There's a whole bunch going on with Pebble, especially with the 2.0 release of the software. And we're still in the early stages. I wouldn't blame somebody for holding off. I have an old friend of mine messaging me right now on Facebook asking, should I buy one of these for my husband? I've used all of these, right? I've got a Galaxy Gear sitting here. I used the Qualcomm Talk for a while. We're still very much in the infancy. I'm real curious to see what Samsung brings next. I like the kind of indie underdog nature of Pebble Steel, of Pebble. I like the company. Hung out there for a day in December, and we did a big piece on them and got to meet the people there. And that makes a difference to me a little bit editorially. So I think they've got more flexibility to do things that people are going to want in a smartwatch. Ron, what are you worried about? What's holding you back?
Well, the thing that held me back from the first Pebble was the e-ink display. Mm-hmm. I want a more colorful kind of a better resolution kind of display. And I saw this had, when I saw a tricolor LED, but then I realized that's just the charging indicator light, right? It's not, right. So it's really right now, it's this, like, if you could take the gusto of Pebble and the DIY spirit of it and put the Samsung watch display in it, then I think that would be what I want, because I want innovation. I want to be able to put different apps onto it. Even though I'm anti-Samsung for rolling out their smartwatch in their own app store, and so I kind of need to apply the same thing to Pebble, I guess, the same kind of, I don't want another app store to manage it. So I guess those are my two kind of things, is the independent app store and the display being not very nice.
Yeah, and I look at the displays, on one end of the spectrum, you have Pebble and e-paper and e-ink. And on the other end, you have AMOLED, which, Samsung has always done really well. But you've got to balance the battery life there. And that's where, AMOLED, it's night and day difference compared to you know, between that and between Miracast, the Qualcomm stuff.
What's been the battery life on the Samsung Watch in your experience? Does it die quickly or?
When I was using it, I was actually getting a little more than they advertised at first. I need to sit down and use it some more since it's gotten some updates. But yeah, I mean, you're talking, you know, maybe 3 days versus 4, 5, 6 on Pebble.
Well, I'm fine. And that's the thing is that I would be fine with taking the watch off and charging it overnight. I mean, that's how I do it on my phone, you know. And like, very rarely can I think of a scenario where I'm out for 3 days without access to an outlet. So it's like, you know, so that almost isn't a kind of a thing. But I really want to be able to just look at my phone and see a message coming in or see a mail thing, and then, you know, and not have to respond or do anything for it, but just have that linking of it. And then I guess, I mean, and the Pebble isn't touchscreen or anything like that. You're just using the buttons, using the physical buttons. So all the apps have to be designed around those physical buttons. Is that correct? Or?
Yeah. The gestures that Samsung was using, I mean, you get used to them quickly enough, I think. I like the button scheme on Pebble, especially now that they've changed it a little bit. So when you're flipping through watch faces, it goes up and down with the buttons instead of left and right. And I got used to it easily enough. I think Qualcomm had a lot of work still needed to be done with its gestures and where you have to press to get things to work on it. Pebble is nice and simple. You've got, you know, four buttons, and one is back, one is select, and two are left and right or up and down. I wish there were a better way for people to try these. And I think that's why it's so important. That's why we just started an entire website dedicated to smartwatches, smartwatchfans.com, for a plug. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Nicely done.
But I think it's that important because it's tough to, you know, you can't just go and try these out unless you're Samsung and you're in, you know, a Samsung store or a carrier store. But for everybody else, they're kind of relying on us to be the guinea pigs. That'll change, I think. But it's a really exciting space. I can't wait to see what comes next. And I wasn't even a watch guy. I haven't worn a watch in years. You know, you don't need to. I'm in front of a computer all day. I have phones in my pockets and tablets. But being able to get notifications, in fact, that's the other thing I think Pebble has done better than everybody else, is displaying the notifications that Samsung launched without being able to show, you know, Gmail or, you know, anything but its own apps. It was horrible. It was just Samsung trying to be first. It's gotten a little better with the software updates, but I still think, and Qualcomm does it the same way Samsung does, they're just piggybacking the notifications instead of actually tapping into your account so it can show one email at a time, because they're small screens with limited amount of space, and you need to be very, very, I think, discreet in what you're showing there, and Pebble has done that right.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the kind of thing where, I mean, I don't necessarily need to read the whole darn email, but if I can just get a quick look and see who the emails are coming in from and the subject line, that tells me whether, okay, I need to stop what I'm doing, pull up my phone, and go deal with this, I mean, from a work-based standpoint. I will say the thing about Pebble Steel that got my eye is that it looks like a real watch as opposed to a toy.
Right.
Like the first one looked a little too plasticky and a little too toy for me. So, I mean, it was on the show. I was looking at Pebble Steel and I was like this close to pulling the trigger on it, but I'm like, I don't know. So, I don't know. But Phil, you've really helped me in terms of getting a good feel for it, a good idea for it. Again, I haven't worn a watch in 5 years, 6 years, maybe. So it would definitely be a status quo change. That's for sure.
Might see some steel on your wrist.
Maybe.
Someday.
I don't think I would wear. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'd wear the big watch thing with the chain and stuff like that, like the metal one. That's not really my look. So I don't know. Yeah, but I'm tempted. I don't know. We'll see how my tax return looks like.
tax return.
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, it won't be this year. It'll be next year.
Yeah.
As a homeowner next year,
I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, no, I can assure you that was one of the best things.
I would love to believe you,
yep.
But I still don't believe you. Well, I guess this is yours. There's not a whole lot to say about
this. Yeah, so this one, I was trying to think what to say, kind of how to approach this, but I really think it's just two words that sum it up, and that's Flappy Bird.
Yeah. I don't even know why we need to talk about it, because apparently 10 million people have downloaded
now,
this.
Now, here's the thing. If 10 million people have downloaded this, have you downloaded it, Jason?
I did today.
Okay. Phil, have you downloaded Flappy Birds?
I wrote that post you're showing right
there. Oh, there you go. You
I
have.
Hate this game.
So, yes. I have not downloaded it yet. So I don't know if the chat room, if according to 10 million, if everyone should be downloading it.
I love your animated GIF, though. It's pretty much me playing the game right there.
I love the idea that it basically rips off, you know, Super Nintendo, and it's using the same style animation and flat out stole the piping, you know, whatever. That's cool. That's kitschy. Normally I would like that. I think maybe I'm just anti Flappy Birds because it's just dumb. It's I'm all for mindless games and wasting time. I played Jetpack Joyride for hours. I played Plants vs. Zombies 2 for hours. There's a third one I play a lot. I just totally forgot what it is. But there's something about this that is so damn frustrating.
Yeah, it's...
And the guys I work with are trying to convince me that there's code in there to make you, you know, just die randomly. You know, invisible walls, and they might well be right. It's playing off this rage gamer in all of us that, I can make it one more pipe.
Just and, one more.
Oh, it's like the Idiocracy of smartphone games now. And, you know, we can do better.
Yeah, I think I played for like 5 minutes and then uninstalled it because I was like, I do not need this kind of frustration in my life.
Why not?
There's 99-cent app out there that you can download and show your friends a fake Flappy Bird score. It's ridiculous.
This is eerily similar to me playing earlier today. Yeah,
there you go.
It's almost like the game revels in being poorly designed, even though. This may be just kind of intentional, right? And there's some skill to this, of course. It's just timing the jump, but it's I don't know. This is just hard.
See, look right there. I saw
it's too hard.
There was invisible wall right there.
It's just too hard, people. So go download it and become 10,000,001.
Oh, that just it looks infuriating.
Yeah, it is.
I have no desire to participate.
Yeah, that's then you probably shouldn't install it.
Yeah, no. Nope. I will not be one of the 10 million.
There you go. Michael Descala wrote in to AAA at twit.tv to say, hey, everyone, I was listening to the Mike and Mike show on ESPN Radio this morning, and Mike brought up an excellent point/problem with all smartphones. If your phone has some type of lock on it, a PIN or pattern lock, etc., you can only make an emergency call. What if you were the one involved in the emergency? How do the authorities get a hold of your in case of an emergency contact? As you all know, there's no way to override the lock screen except to make an emergency call. So is there an app that could possibly allow emergency responders to see and call your ICE contacts? It's kind of something I hadn't thought about.
It's a valid point. It's very
absolutely. Yeah. Thankfully, there are a lot of apps. If you do a search, just do a Google search for ICE, ICE, and Play, and you'll get a bunch of apps. And one of those that came back that I thought kind of looked pretty good is called ICE in case of an emergency or in case of emergency by AppVentive. And this is an app that you can basically, you know, if you're on a later version of Android, you can integrate it into your lock screen as a widget, and it essentially allows you to store, you know, who to call, if you have any allergies, medication, conditions, all that kind of stuff, and embed it into a single clickable widget on your lock screen. And because it's a lock screen widget, you can place that however you want. Do you want it on the front or to the side or whatever, so that if someone needs to pick up your phone and get in touch with one of your contacts to let them know that you're not doing so hot, whatever the case may be, they can do that. It is also compatible with older versions of Android, so it can replace the lock screen with its own lock screen. So
it's cool.
It's $3.99.
It's probably worth it, though, in the long run.
Sure. Well, especially if it's used. So there you go. But yeah, do a search for ICE and Play, or go to the Play Store and do a search for ICE, and you'll find a bunch of them. This one kind of looked like the best one.
There's also the other application that I like to call a folded piece of paper in your wallet.
Wallet? What is that?
Yeah.
We're all leaving our wallets at home because we have Google Wallet, right?
Are you?
No.
Nope. I did get my Google Wallet card, by the way. I haven't set it up yet.
Oh. What are you going to use it for?
I don't know. I haven't decided.
Do you have one? I have to imagine you have a Google Wallet card, Phil. And,
I was just thinking, yes, I have one. Let me
gonna show our cards.
Blow the dust off it. Yeah,
exactly.
I haven't used it once.
What
I love is that I put it in my wallet without even attaching it to any. There's no money on this. There's not linked to any account. Like, I got it, I registered it, and I put it in the wallet. So
I keep it just in case I get mugged, so I can hand that over.
Yeah, exactly. Just take it. Just take it.
Everything that I own is on this card.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Well, there you go.
I also like that I don't have a piece of paper folded with emergency contacts in my thing. So here I am.
See, you need to install this app then.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have featured that app in the arena.
I should have.
Or the one that you picked. Speaking of arena, it's arena time.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
The roll of the R gets me every time.
Arena. Last week, we had four apps, and Stack Exchange was the top pick at 42%.
I knew it.
Yeah, you knew that?
Oh, I knew that one was going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was, yeah. So.
Let's see here. THX TuneUp, 29%. Soundfields Winter at 16%. And Beats Music coming in last.
I'm going to chalk 12%. Up that loss because someone on Twitter barked at me and talking about tone. And they're like, oh, you're clearly going to lose because Beats Music is U.S. only. So I was like, all right, fine. So that's what I'm going to chalk up my loss to.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. Blame it on the U.S. only.
Blame it on America.
All right. So, Ron, you are the loser. So, you go first.
You put it like that. It's very hard to get motivated.
Sorry. You are this week's upcoming winner.
All right. Well, then. So last week, if you tuned in last week, you might have noticed that I very narrowly presented a game that was already chosen in the arena, but I caught it the last minute, went with Beats Music instead. This week, I felt as if I needed to vindicate that and go with the game because it's been a while since I've gone with the game. And generally, the games I go for are the kind of lighter games, more casual. I spend it while I'm commuting, so I'm sitting on Muni or on BART. I just want something to do to get me pass it through time. And I will got to notice that I went through about five or six games this week just trying them out, and the number of games that are completely network intensive, it's baffling because I'm going through the tunnel and I can't, I don't have a solid connection. And I was playing a soccer game, like a free kick soccer game, and the only mode you could do was to play against other live people. I'm like, no, I just want this little sandbox to play in. And so anyway, so luckily I did find a game. It is a new game. It is called Line, L-Y-N-E. And I have it installed on my phone, and that's what I've been playing on for most of it this week. I installed it here on the tablet to A, give the bigger screen, but also kind of show you guys the kind of tutorial walkthrough, because I always find that's a good way. But it's very nicely designed. It's got that nice kind of modern kind of look. It's got some very calming music that you'll hear shortly. It does go through a little bit of loading. So is that in?
Yeah, I think it was out a little bit.
All right. Got a little status bar as it loads. And basically, the idea of this game is purely just to connect the dots. There are several different shape sizes, and the purpose of the game is to connect point A to point B of each of the different kind of shapes. So if this ever loads, I don't know why it's taking so long. There you go. So it comes in. It's got that very kind of modern design look. So I'm going to hit begin, and it's going to walk through the kind of tutorial. So it just very easily tells you what you need to do. So these little ones are the starting points, and the solid ones are the middle ones. And so with this, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a little music. And so here, I'm just going to connect these. And what they do is that they take this whole concept, and now they make it a little more complicated by putting them around the board. I don't know if you could tell, but there are these subtle little diagonal lines, so I could connect it diagonally. And see here, I missed those two, so I just hit that to start again, and I go, whoop, and there we go. All right, so now it gets a little harder as they put in two shapes on a board, you know. And this is super, super easy because this is the tutorial, and I'll speed through this so we can actually get to the actual game. But you start to see how it gets a little more complicated, a little bigger every time. I got to tell you, I've just sat for minutes, like, you know, a good 45 minutes or so on the train just playing this in kind of a bit of a trance. Admittedly, I do turn off the music, though, because I listen to podcasts while I'm doing this. But, and again, this is the tutorial, so it's a little easier, but as the game develops, it gets really hard and kind of complicated. So you find yourself trying to figure it out, and it's enough of a challenge that it makes you really stop and think and look at it, but not enough so that it ruins your time with the game, because sometimes it can be so hard from early on that you it's just like, oh, this isn't even any fun. I don't even want to do this anymore. So...
Yeah, and I like the pace at which it moves. It doesn't waste time with, like, you cleared four things. All right, now on to the next one. It just kind of takes you right there.
Exactly. Now, this is cool. This little blue widget is one where you can run two lines through. It's kind of a little junction box. So I can do this, and then I can do that. Because the thing is that you cannot You can't, like, because I've done this line, you can't go where there's a line already. Like, right. You get blocked. Yeah, so.
You can't cross the streams.
Exactly. So it gets very clever about how it uses this, that bit of functionality to within the game. And it's just really kind of soothing, and it's kind of fun, and, you know, and it's I've enjoyed it this whole week. And so I'm going to skip the tutorial now. I'm going to hit end. And so now you see, and basically it's the similar kind of Angry Bird style of levels where you have to finish a level in order to unlock it. So like here, you know, this won't work because I didn't fill in those two boxes. So I need to figure out how to utilize that and still be able to do it. What's interesting about this is that when you get the game initially, it comes with several levels that you need to play through and you can unlock them and all that sort of stuff. But I see I forgot one. There mm-hmm. you go. Oh, look at that. But what is also interesting is that in addition to the levels that are baked into the game, the developers are releasing daily levels that you can download on a daily basis. So you said I didn't get that one. That you can download on a daily basis in order to get fresh and new content. So if you play through all the levels, it's okay because every day there's 20 more levels for you to challenge against. And they add even more shapes and it gets bigger and they add more junctions and things like that. So it's pretty cool. So it's called Line. It's totally free.
Lyne.
Lyne. Yeah, exactly. It's very soothing. And look at that.
Ooh. Well, it's no Flappy Bird, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, where's the Flappy at, huh?
Yeah, exactly. There's no flapping going on here. So Line, totally free. So it's $2.50. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, it's $2.50. $2.50. But the game was so good, I don't even remember paying for it. How about that?
I think one impressive thing about this game is that you were able to play, relatively hard levels and still talk and everything.
They weren't that hard. It gets much harder.
I'm sure it does.
Wait, hang on. Let me pull up my phone.
But sometimes showing off a game and talking about it is the most impossible thing you can do.
If we go to the phone, my phone's dirty, so I'm sorry, but I could show you the level I'm on now, and you can see the difference between the entry point, levels. So
load faster, Line. There we go.
All right. So, bling. So here you can see, and there's the daily levels. And if I hit that, it would download them. But if I go back to here, you see.
That's cool. I really like that.
So here you go. So here's the level that I left off on, which looks somewhat easy. But with those three junctions, it gets very difficult.
Yeah. So, some of them require two pass-throughs. Another one requires three.
Exactly.
I
want to go to one before this. Yeah, there we go. So. So when you get three shapes in and three pass-throughs and stuff like that, I mean, there have been a couple times where I'm like, come on. But honestly, I've never wrestled with it for more than a minute or two.
Right.
Which, if you ask me, it's just challenging enough to make it fun in a game, but not challenging enough to make you hate it. Yeah. So there you go. So Line.
Oh, you mean make you hate it, like Flappy Bird, it's impossible and you'll uninstall it. Yeah. That's a great pick. Yeah. Line, Lyne. Look forward to $2.50.
$2.50, sorry, but it's worth it. And now,
absolutely.
Phil's going to beat me now.
Phil, it's time for you to attempt to beat Ron. Yes, summon. Summon the bird.
So, I've been remiss in not writing about this this following app on my own time because it's really good. I'm always in search of a better Twitter app. Mainly because I hate Twitter. I love Twitter. I can't quit Twitter. But Twitter's not the most developer-friendly platform out there.
Yeah.
And so if you're not using an official Twitter app, chances are the one you are using is going to die at some point. Because it won't necessarily die. But there are issues with tokens and getting new users. If you don't know the long, sordid story, I won't get into it. But it can be tough, right? And we hear the horror stories of developers, really good developers, getting out of the Twitter business because there's a ceiling on how much money they could possibly make off it. So it's really nice to see this app called Talon come into play here relatively recently, actually, and they've been updating pretty frequently. It's still not necessarily 100% to what I would like to see. It's really, really good, though. The user interface is simple. Everything is where you would expect it. You've got a whole bunch of options there. It's laid out very nicely. I think this is probably my second favorite Twitter app at this point, but more important is it's available to get new users and it still has tokens left. So, you know, you're going to have to pay a little bit of money for it, and that's fine. I absolutely think Twitter apps need to be, you know, for pay at this point because of token issues. And, you know, if you're not going to do it out of the goodness of your heart, it should cost a little money. And it's that simple, right? A Twitter app should not be difficult to use. And Talon has done really, really well at presenting individual tweets, making it easy to reply, making it easy to get your DMs. And, you know, it's just that simple. There's not a lot to say other than it's a really good, simple Twitter app that you can still get if you're looking for one.
Interesting that it's from the same developers who did that Evolve SMS app that remember I showed the week he came out, which I've been told has been improved and they've dealt with the loading thing, and I tried it again, I still have the same problem, so it's not quite there yet. But they are these developers are very good at UI and putting stuff together in a pretty package. So
yeah I've been very impressed with it.
Yeah, I always wonder when I see a new Twitter app, because as a developer, you pour all of this time and, you know, constant time updating it and upgrading it and all that kind of stuff. You know, when you start developing a Twitter app that your time is limited, or rather your number of new users is limited, and you're going to reach a cap eventually, no matter how successful it is. It's just interesting that we continue to see more and more. It's a really a bummer that Twitter doesn't keep it open, because it keeps people engaged with the service.
Yeah.
These are really well-designed apps, and their official app is not. It's been a while since I used it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's is not is a little harsh, because I do find it, it's functional and it's good, but like the thing is that I like the innovation that comes up, and this is a different way to visualize tweets and things like that. And I think when you have an open API, you see that opportunity for innovation to happen, and to close it off just is kind of totalitarian. So
yeah, it's a hard reprogramming that we as people who have used plenty of Twitter apps have to do, which is realize that, you know, the old way of Twitter just allowing everybody to kind of innovate and make all these great design apps, that's not the way it is now. Yeah. And that's hard to kind of erase the memory of that.
Yeah.
Because this is a fantastic looking Twitter app. That's great. It's called Talon, and you can check it out at the Play Store. It is, let's see here, $1.99, it looks like, in the Play Store, so...
Cheaper than Ron's app.
Yeah.
Wow, Phil is just not messing around. I love
just
it.
Say it.
cheaper. Well, how about, let me check, double check that I didn't pay for this one.
Which is ironic, considering it's installed, you can't tell.
I know.
Yeah.
That would totally be ironic.
That's why I thought it was
How
was
about
free.
A free app?
Yeah.
And actually, this app shouldn't need to exist. There should be no reason that this app it even exists, because the Play Store should have this functionality in it. And if I remember correctly, used to, and now it does not. And this app is called My Paid Apps. Do you have a lot of paid apps? You go to the Play Store and you try and find them, just them, and you can't, because Google no longer allows you to search just by the apps that you paid for. It only shows you, wait a minute, what am I doing here? My Paid Apps. I must have got there through... Oh, I see. Yeah. I got there through the app. Google only shows you all the apps that you've installed. And for a person like me, for probably all of us, we've installed a ton of apps on our devices. So filtering through there and finding just the ones that we paid for, it can get really difficult. So here are all the apps that I... Is this all that
I... So how is it doing it?
That's a good question. I don't ask questions like that. I don't know how they do it, but they do. So anyways, it basically breaks out all the apps that you have associated with your account. You can pick, you know, any of your Google accounts, essentially. And so I have this tab for Android apps that I've paid for. You can see on the side what I paid for it. This is a really great way to see how much you've spent over the years on all of your apps that are installed. The text is a little small, so it's kind of hard to read on the screen, but... it also shows you kind of some of the devices that you've purchased through the Play Store, in-app purchases and payments, your movies, your music, and then it breaks it out into all of these different things. Animation, I bought Monsters University. It basically just shows you all the things you've ever paid for through the Play Store. But I think it's just a great way to kind of take a look, at least the reason that I downloaded it, is to take a look at all the apps that I thought were good enough that I would spend money on them. Because a lot of times, and I've gone through a lot of devices and different updates to ROMs, although this Nexus 5 is not rooted yet. I've done it a lot, and every time I do it, I want to install new apps. You know, I bought so many of them, and so some of them fall through the cracks, and I forget that I even have them. My paid apps is a way of finding them, plus a whole lot of other stuff.
I can't believe this exists.
I know. It's crazy that this needs to exist. Google just needs to add that functionality back into the Play Store, or just, you know, be the awesome search company that they are, and just add something that makes it easier to find those kinds
of
things.
Just a filter. It's just how hard should it just be, like, paid or free filter? They do it in their own store. So interesting.
There you go. My paid apps shouldn't exist, but it does.
And you're going to use it.
I'm happy that it does. There we go. All right. Three apps this week covered on today's episode. You can vote for your favorite app by going to aaapoll.com/147. It's aaapoll.com/147 for this week's episode. Go ahead and click through there. Let's see here.
Brian.
Line. Hey. Line is up at the top.
Look at
right
that,
now.
Yeah.
It's early votes. Days. They're all pretty even at this point.
Yeah, take that,
Love
Phil.
Love it when they start like this.
Hang on. I haven't voted for myself yet.
10 times.
Oh, that's real time. That's cool.
Yeah, it updates in real time.
Not only is it real time, but it also logs your IP and doesn't let you vote numerous times. So there you go.
And if you
how does this VPN work? Hang on.
Nope. If you do that, it kicks you off the internet forever.
Yep,
so.
Exactly. So my paid app's making a run for it.
There we go. I don't know. We'll see. You never know where this is going.
I need
to
a win, folks. I need a win. I'm not begging, but I'm just saying.
Actually, Ron is begging. He's not. You are not beneath begging.
I'm not beneath it. Nope.
That is it for this week's episode. What a great episode it was. And Phil, you're a huge reason for that. Thank you so much for coming on yet again.
Thanks for having me again. It's always fun. Let's not wait 5 years to do it next time.
Okay, we'll wait 3 years. How about that? Right. Cool. Well, this is your opportunity to tell people what you're up to, where people can find your work, really anything you want to plug. Go for it.
Oh, man. AndroidCentral.com is where I am all the time. You know, all the Mobile Nation sites, we're all kind of writing on each other's sites more often than usual these days.
Yeah, I've noticed.
If I stop on Crackberry, don't freak out. You know, and what's the point of having logins if I don't abuse it every now and then? So Smartwatch Fans is our newest one. We're
awesome.
We're definitely pushing that as much as we can. Phil Nickinson on Google Plus and Twitter and all that stuff if you care about things other than smartphones. So
fantastic. You guys are doing great work. I love the network.
Appreciate it.
All the different sites. Good work. So there you go. Android Central, as well as a whole lot of other places. Ron, what about you?
Well, you can find me over at about.me/RonXO, and that's all links to my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I think it's, I don't know, all the social stuff. And I'm on Google Plus at google.com/+RonRichards. And by day, I help make comic books over at Image Comics. So go to imagecomics.com where you can download DRM-free comic books to your heart's content, like The Walking Dead and Saga and East of West and great comics, the future of comics, in fact. So there you go.
You have a cool job, I gotta say.
Sometimes, sometimes you spend 4 hours in front of spreadsheets like I did today. So.
Hey, you guys make great stuff.
We do. We try. Check out Black Science. It's a brand new science fiction comic that I'm a big fan of.
So 20 years ago, when you were younger, to look ahead in your life and know that you were working with Image Comics,
mind blowing. I'm very lucky. I thank my lucky stars every morning.
That's awesome. Brian, what about you? I'm sure 20 years ago, if you were to look in the future and say, I was TDing, I was technical director of All About Android, you just wouldn't believe it. You'd be like, what?
But would you believe
it? Would blow
that
my mind, Jason.
In 20 years, I'll be TDing All About Android and not paying attention and miss a breaking news cue. That you would believe.
Brutal.
That would cut deep. But, you know, I didn't miss the Spain one.
Yes,
so.
You're Viva España.
I think I made up for it.
You did.
Brian, you won.
Where can people find you, Cranky Hippo?
Like you said, on Twitter, Cranky_Hippo. If you do brianburnett.com, go straight to my Google Plus page. But that's about it. I mean, you'll be able to see where I get all my great ideas for TD stuff, you know.
Awesome. Look there.
Yeah. There's so much stuff. Motorcycles and robots and Android stuff, basically.
And butterflies.
What?
You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. I'm on Google Plus, plus Jason Howell, or my music can be found at yellowgoldmusic.com. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Thank you to the chat realm for keeping us honest and being awesome, as always. You guys show up week after week, and it's great having you guys in there pitching in. Voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Email, AAA@twit.tv. Reddit, twit@reddit.com. Show notes for past episodes, twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Oh, I went through that a little bit faster than normal. That's okay. It's a lot of stuff to say. Bye.